Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading verse 10 through 18 as we look at what John's gospel tells us about who this Jesus Christ is. The story is told of a very busy woman who wanted to get some presents for her tight circle of girlfriends. But she was busy, and she just didn't have the time. And as she was going into a store, she saw a big box of cards. And they looked like Christmas cards. You had the green foliage, the right colors. So she thought to herself, I'll just send some cards, and we won't worry about the presents this year. So she went home, signed the cards, put them in the mail, wrote a little note. The note said, thinking of you, my friends. Well, sent the cards. Time passed. And it was after January 2nd, that she decided to look and see exactly what the cards said. And here's what the inside of the card said. This Christmas card is just to say a little gift is on the way. Looking for gifts, aren't we? One way you can look at the Christmas story is that we do have a gift, all right. The gift of Jesus Christ. And what John has been telling us is that Jesus Christ came into this world, took on human flesh, and yet he's also going to tell us what is the value of that gift towards you. Let's see what God's word says today, beginning at verse 10 and reading till verse 18. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. And out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God. And he is close relationship with the Father has made him known. Let's pray and ask God to bless what we have just read. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that we can see the value of Jesus Christ, to know what he has done for us, to realize that we have a great gift through him. Hear our prayer. Amen. Christmas season. You go shopping and you are hoping to find something of value. Now, when I say value, I don't necessarily mean cheap. But if you can't get a good gift, well, rather inexpensively, that's good. Now, what I mean by value is something that the other person wants or likes. Now, I try to do that, and it's sort of relatively easy. For Jan, jewelry is always a winner. That's always good. Or the Ross gift card. Those are always big winners. For me, I'm a little more difficult to shop for. But what about you? What would be valuable to you at Christmas? Is it something for your hobby? Something for work? Maybe it's clothes or tools, I guess you would need to think about what would bring you great joy if you got it at Christmas. We look at the Bible. They weren't as materialistic as we were. They also had gifts. And the Bible tells us that God sent us a gift. It is His Son, Jesus Christ. We refer to it as the incarnation, where the second person of the Trinity took on human flesh. That is what Christmas is ultimately about. That is the gift. Now, at Christmas season, we like the lights. We like the Christmas trees. We like the time that we have off. But the gift of great value is a person, the only begotten Son of God. And too often, I think, in this Christmas season, because we live in such a secular world, it's hard for us to think of that as a gift of great value. What is more valuable to us, perhaps, is our sporting teams. And what has happened in American society is, remember this, you used to have Wednesday as the church night, Sunday was the church day. Now what has happened is Wednesday night for kids, you still have all these sporting events going on, and the same is true for Sunday. It's not so much that we are overtly hostile to God, we simply don't mention Him. And if that is the mindset of many people, then it's no wonder you don't see the value of the gift of Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit gave us this passage of Scripture today through John because He wants to remind you of the value of Jesus Christ. Last week He told you it was the incarnate Son of God who took on human flesh. This week, in a very packed section of Scripture, which we cannot possibly cover at all, He points out the value of that for you. And that value consists in this. You are a child of God. God dwells with you. And God has made you a person who has received grace upon grace. So what is it that He's given you? Because of the incarnation, you're a child of God. Because of the incarnation, God dwells with you. Because of the incarnation, you have received grace upon grace. Let's see what it says in John's gospel about you being a child of God. Now, the passage begins with what we just read, with people who did not believe in Jesus Christ. Some will accept the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and they will become children of God. But it's also clear here that there are those who are not going to accept Jesus as the Son of God. John tells us Jesus was there at creation. He created you. He brought you into this world. This world is a product of His handiwork. But yet at the same time where it says the true light came into this world, He was in the world did not recognize Him. He came to His very own people, but they did not receive Him. You read further in the book of John, and there is this conflict between Jesus and His own people. Now, isn't that a fine howdy-do? The Creator sends His Son into this world to His very own people, and they say, no thanks, not interested. Not interested at all. That is the rejection that Jesus had to put up with in His life. Think of it this way. One Christmas, I was going back to where my mom was, And as a bit of surprise, she didn't know it. And as a way to surprise her, I hid. And wrapping paper and a ribbon was put around me. It was like I was going to be a living Christmas present. Oh, she was excited and everything. But what would have happened if she saw her own son and said, I don't know, you go away. But that's what God's people did to Jesus Christ. But look at what it says also, if you do believe in Jesus Christ, whether you are Jew or Gentile, it says he gave you the right to become children of God. Now, do you know that in the Old Testament, Israel was considered the sons of God? God says to Israel, you're my firstborn son. Now, that very same concept applies to the Church of Jesus Christ today. That if you believe, you are a child of God. And that was good news to people back then because many of those people were not rich, they were not wealthy, they were pretty poor. And in the ancient world, if you did come from a wealthy family, oh, you were going to be set for life. It's no different today. If you are wealthy, your kids are going to wind up with that money. They're going to have some opportunities for education that most of us will not have. And that leaves the rest of us thinking we're a bunch of second-class citizens. But here's the good news of the incarnation. Christ came into this world to make you a son and daughter of God, and you have that type of authority and right as a child of God to believe and to realize one day Jesus is going to come back and you're going to see the fullness of that blessing of being a child of God. Now, what do people want today? They want to be somebody. And a lot of people go around padding their resumes, making sure they run in the right circles and they're part of the right group because they want to be somebody. But for the Christian, you are somebody if you believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be part of an in crowd. You already are the in crowd that is destined for heaven, destined for a new heavens and a new earth. And one day you're going to be with Christ forever. When we talk of the value of the incarnation, there it is. Because of what Christ did, it changes who you are once and for all to be a son and daughter of God. Now you're saying to me, well, we don't see that. That's because our imaginations are not big enough to think about what that means now and for always. It means you're the apple of God's eye, no matter what. That is a great gift. Oh, I may want the presents. But having that significance is far greater because of Jesus Christ. So, who are you? What has God done for you at the Christmas season? He's made you a child of God. But may I tell you a little more about what he's done for you? You have God in your midst. What did God's people want in the Old Testament? To know that God dwelt with them. Just like it was in the Garden of Eden. You could look at the Old Testament as a story of people trying to get back to Eden. We think of that name, Emmanuel, God with us. Look at the history of Israel where they had the tabernacle with the Ark of the Covenant, the footstool of God. It was God dwelling with them. We think of the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory as they called it. It was the presence of God with his people. We go on to the temple that was filled with the glory of God. It showed that God was with them. And the whole covenantal promise from the beginning to the end is you will be my people and I will be your God. In a sense, we're all trying to get back to Eden where we dwell with God. And what do you want today? Wouldn't it be nice to know that God is with you? That you dwell in the presence of God? Wouldn't that be life-changing? A life-changing perspective for everything? I think it would be. And listen to what it says here. It may not be clear to you, but let me explain in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Now that is the same word in the Greek New Testament that is used for tabernacle. In other words, God pitched a tent amongst us. It is used again in the book of Revelation, where it says in Revelation 21:3, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now amongst the people, and he will dwell with them, tabernacle with them, commune with them.'" God pitched a tent in the midst of us, where he dwells with us. The good news of the incarnation is God has not kept himself at a distance. He comes to us, he dwells with us, and the people in the Bible wanted to see God. But with Jesus, they got to see the God of the Bible in a person. No, God did not say this, "For God so loved the world that he sent an email." It does not say, "For God so loved the world that he sent a text message." It says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. In other words, God dwells with you and I. Now you're saying to me, "But I don't see Jesus." But the Bible also says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." It also says, "Go, I am with you always to the end of the age." God is with us in spirit. He dwells with us. He is with us. So the glory of God at Christmas is that he gave you himself. He actually dwells with us. And that, to me, is the most valuable part of the whole Christmas story. The gift of Jesus Christ. He came to us as a present, wrapped in human flesh. And we need to all know that, don't we? When do you need to know it? Well, of course, you need to know it during the Christmas season, that God is with us now. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. But you also need to know it through every trial and disease that you go through in this life. He has not abandoned us. He has not left us. When I get up in the morning, I go outside, go into the park for my run. And I can hear the birds singing. Sometimes I can't see those birds, but I hear the birds. It's sort of like Jesus with us. We may not be able to see him, but we can certainly hear his voice singing to us, "I am with you. I have not left you." And of all the things that I would want to know deeply, more important than any other gift is the fact that Christ dwells with us. That is the most important gift of all. But let me even go further, because those gifts just keep on giving here in this section of Scripture. It also says, you receive more grace. The grace is all over the Bible. One time when we were in Tallahassee at a Presbyterian church, one of the men said, "There's no grace in the Old Testament." Well, that's just a bunch of baloney. There's grace all over the place. I mean, look at how God dealt with Israel. He should have wiped them out. He shouldn't have even chosen them in the first place. They were a bunch of idolaters like the rest of the world. But God's grace came to them. His word was with them. And when we think of that idea of grace from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it is God giving us what we don't deserve. What is grace like? One time we were up at Dave's Catfish. We were waiting to get seated. And out of nowhere, this guy hands me the money to pay for my dinner. Grace? That's grace. Didn't ask for it, didn't deserve it. He just did it out of the kindness of his heart. That's grace. I can also think when I was a student back at Reformed Theological Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, we were dirt poor, living off of fish sticks, spinach, and potatoes. I don't like fish sticks to this day because of that experience. They were going to get rid of us because we didn't have enough money. Lo and behold, a group from First Presbyterian Church gave us the money to stay in school and a grocery bag full of goodies. They didn't know me. They didn't know what I would become. But that's the grace of Christmas. God gives us what we don't deserve. And look at verse 16. Now, in your Bibles, it's translated different. And actually, here's a frustrating thing. Even in the NIV, the newer editions are different than the older editions. But it's translated this way. ESV, grace upon grace. NIV, one glorious, gracious gift after another. And in the updated NIV, it says, we have received grace in place of grace already given. Now, what is all that grace referring to? Because in the Old Testament, God's people received grace. They did. The laws were gracious. God revealed himself as to what it would take to dwell with them. God chose them, even though they were a bunch of sinners, and their track record proves that. But with Jesus Christ, you and I receive even more grace, a superabundance of grace, a plentitude of grace with Christ, more than we can possibly imagine, because he not only came into this world, he died for our sins, he fulfilled the law, and because of that, all of us can live freely in the sight of God. And if this should leave you with anything, it's you should value grace and more grace. He gives it every day. When our daughter was very, very young, I believe it was in Mississippi, I think she went to the zoo. Now, little babies, they've been having the baby formula, the Gerber's baby food, and all that. Sarah got her first taste of ice cream. Do you want to know what the reaction to that first taste of ice cream was? Oh, God, I want, she wanted more. She went crazy. And we've got pictures of her. She wanted more and more and more. Because all of a sudden, ice cream was the greatest thing in her life. What should we want more of? Grace. And God tells us here that he showers it upon us over and over again. It is no wonder Paul says, all the things I put in value, they're worth nothing to me. But Jesus Christ, he's everything. Because of that grace that we have received. And when we think of those Christmas gifts, it's hard to get away from getting caught up with the packages and the wrappings and the surprise of it all. But the great gift is that Christ came into this world, and because of that, you have received grace upon grace. You have the presence of God with you. And you have been made children of the living God. There are so many people who don't see the value of religion. You need to turn to your souls and ask, what do you really, really want? And deep down inside, it's to know that God is with you through all of your life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you now saying thank you. Thank you for the great gift of the incarnation. We may say thank you to husbands and wives and grandfathers and grandmothers for their gifts at Christmas. But the great gift came from you, our Heavenly Father, in which we say thank you. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Amen.